Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
When someone brings you the computer, do they say, hey, I don't know what happened. There might be a bug inside, or I saw something crawl in, or do they just not know and you don't know what you're going to get?
Yeah, they don't know. I mean, So when you
open it up, that's the first time you go, oh my God, there are cockroaches inside of here.
Yes, correct. I mean, the first time I was kind of surprised because... the first time I was kind of surprised... I've kind of... Thank you, Mr. Wilhelm.
When every letter in... every single letter in cotton candy has been picked except for one, and you get the people who are still spinning because they're so stupid they can't solve the prize.
Yet. I'd like puzzle, to solve yeah. it, please. The Wizard of Is.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Oops, I forgot to start my clock. Let me start my clock.
Start
Hi, everybody.
Clock.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show, and sorry about yesterday. We had some internal issues that had to be addressed, and fortunately, I'm here to tell you that many of you are going to be very happy because this is something that I've been thinking about. The guys know this, but I don't. But I haven't made the announcement. Rob and Oscar will be hosting the show from this point forward. There are a lot of people that have... I've listened to you. I've heard what you've said about the show is better with them. And I will be leaving the show effective March 15th. For those of you that wanted that and were happy about that, it's been a hell of a ride for me.
No, I'm not going anywhere, a-holes. F you. F you, doughheads. You know? The show works because it's all of us. So shut up, and I don't want to read that crap anymore. And if I do, if I read it again, especially you, dental arts man, okay? Dentist boy making fake teeth all the time. I got my eyes on you. You know who you are. There we go.
Veneers?
If you caught
Love the veneers.
A number of people, a very small number of people, but a significant number of people watched the beginning of the live feed where I had a meltdown on the show about a subject that has been brought up on the show repeatedly, which was my frustration with Carrie and the frustration about the situation where I haven't been able to speak to her and find out what was going on. Now the first thing is, and this is the truth, I'm not playing around with this, I spoke to Carrie Spiewak last night. We had a wonderful, long, lengthy chat. We covered a lot of ground when we talked to each other. And almost all of it, I am sorry to disappoint all of you, is between Carrie and me. That's just the way it goes. I think she wants it that way. I think it's a good idea. I like to share as much as I can, but sometimes I honor the wishes of somebody who, you know, wants to keep things private. I think it's important to point out that I do care about Rob and his wife and his family. And the one thing I am going to share about this situation is that during our conversation, the term obsessed about it, that I was obsessed about it. I was definitely obsessed about it. I own that. I copped to that right away. I was obsessed about the situation as to, you know, why did Carrie unfriend me? Why did she unfriend my wife? Why have I not spoken to her? I was obsessed about it because I had no information about it, not from her. I got what I got from Rob, but wondering whether or not I had done something to cause a problem with one of my guys and his family drove me into a state that I just couldn't go on. And every time her name would come up or Rob would talk about something, I'd be like, well, what's the deal? Because I never had any kind of understanding from her about what was going on. And it really drove me nuts. anybody that knows me will know I'm kind of a fixer. I'm not a guy that can go to bed with a situation and sleep well and say, la, 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 everything moves on. I can't do that. I don't have the chip. It drives me nuts. So this situation has been going on for so long that it got worse and worse and worse. And it was very good to speak with her last night. And I really, you know, I think I have a pretty decent relationship speaking with Carrie. Carrie and I have had conversations before. The conversation is not difficult. It's she can communicate, I can communicate. The important thing in my mind is that the situation was resolved. We are moving forward. I'm sorry that it got out of hand. The long and short of it, I saw a couple of people online that were, which was, by the way, for me, it comes with the territory. So I understand that, but, and I understand that's what people like to do. They like to speculate on what happened and we bring it on the air. So it comes with the territory, but it doesn't take away the hurt from me when my wife and child are brought up and somebody like the dental arts guy says it must be horrible for Carla and their son, to deal with my, you know, you can go to hell, straight to hell with that. And I will tell you that, that nothing could be further from the truth. And I spend most of the time, with my son and my wife, you know, living a very normal life that would bore you enormously. And it just, you know, I don't mind speculation about what I'm doing on the show. People saying they get uncomfortable when they're listening to the show. I completely understand that. There will be no apology tour, and there will be no apology tour because I don't have anything to apologize for. I truly don't. I am in a situation where I did obsess, and I copped to that, and I owned that, and I completely understand where Carrie is coming from, and I hope. I can only hope, because I don't know she speaks for herself and she's not going to come on the show. But I hope that she understands where I'm coming from and that we, through communicating, we were able to, you know, resolve the situation. I know it's on my end. It's resolved. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about Facebook. I'm not going to worry about that. And it ended better than it began. I think, Rob, I know you were sitting there while, or I don't know if you walked into another room, or but it sounded like you were sitting there, you know. We're in the communication business, and I think sometimes we all need to communicate with each other, especially if the air needs to be cleared. That's what the issue was with me, and it was very, very difficult. It was very difficult. One of the most difficult things I've ever had to deal with, because I'm like, what, you know, being a fixer and wanting to know what is the situation, what was my, you know, what did I do? And the long and short of it was, I did more damage after the fact by, you know, by being frustrated and not knowing than anything prior to that. And most of it, I think you would agree, Rob, is personal.
It is.
You know, it is. It is personal. And the one fact that I will share with you, and then I'd like to move on to it, that came out of all this, if I had talked to Carrie early on in this situation, none of this would have happened. None of this would have happened. I understand her. I believe she understands me. And that was frustrating. So that's kind of my take on things. I didn't know whether you wanted to add anything or, you know, or what.
I've said this and I've said it to you in private and I'll say it here. I'm very sorry it came to this. And it's very chip that has you being a fixer has me in the opposite direction. It's probably one of the reasons why we complement each other in real life and on the air sometimes. We're very, very different people. I'm sorry, again, that it came to that. I'm glad that you had a chance to speak to her. I'm glad that she spoke to you. I'm glad that you guys have resolved this. And I would ask that everyone who is so excited about all this stuff going down, afford Carrie the same respect that Mike is that leave her alone. I mean, she never agreed to be, she didn't marry into a radio show. She's married to me and I come with the radio show part and parcel. This is true, but don't hassle her. Don't speculate about her. If you are kind, I would really appreciate that. And Mike, I knew I never doubted it, but thank you for treating her with the respect that you did and the whole situation.
There was no reason not to.
I know. Mean,
it was,
I know.
It was, there was no, I walked away from our conversation, you know, with nothing but empathy for her, for you guys to understand, you know.
And as I also, said, I never I doubted really, that, but I so appreciate it. I so appreciate it.
And I'm sorry I have to say this because I feel like Donald Trump when I'm doing this, but I really also have to say for myself and with all the speculators out there, there is no apology tour from Mike O'Mara today.
Mm-hmm.
There is no apology tour because it's not warranted. This is something that, you know, that everybody was saying, oh, when Mike does this, Mike's frustration was not knowing what was going on. Yep. Mike knows what's going on now. He understands that. I'm sorry it came to this, but there is no apology for reacting and wanting to fix a situation and wanting to at least understand.
Right.
One thing I think I've demonstrated. And by the way, when you talk about another apology tour, the people out there that say that, you diminish something that I value in my own life, which is the ability to admit if a mistake has been made. And when you diminish that and when you talk about, oh, he's going to do this again, you're probably the type of person that doesn't apologize. And I think apologizing is important. And I think owning responsibility for your actions is important. And I think accountability is important. So if there is a situation where I need to apologize, I do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like people that want to throw darts at me for doing that. I do it because I think more people should. More people should apologize. More people should be willing to accept personal responsibility. So people that, you know, somehow think that's old and old hat. Do I have a mercurial personality? Of course, that's what I do on the show. I've always had that. But I do like to fix things. Oscar, you wanted to say something. I didn't. I
Trip Affleck, up. I would like an apology from you. You know what you did. Just in
okay.
case. Just in case.
All right.
Is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
Let me read you
Yeah, Trip was on and you pretty good yesterday.
Got some photographic evidence. Maybe this is going to be a solid show pick. I don't like getting involved with your drama as far as the listeners are concerned. I enjoy the heat that comes from...
You're talking to me?
Identify who you're speaking to. I said, as far as the listeners...
Sounded rather dismissive
as
to me.
As far as the listeners are concerned. Jesus Christ.
Whose drama don't you want to get involved with? Trip's?
No, I love radio drama. I actually...
He's not answering the question.
Oh, Trip's. Trip's drama, yes.
Okay.
Jesus. Thank you, Rob.
Trip says this.
God.
Plus...
We can't do the show without three of us. Just based on this last 2 seconds, we can't do it.
Let me.
I'm not going to do it.
Mike, it's the triangle.
Let me figure this out.
I know.
The talk triangle.
The talk triangle.
Talk triangle.
Trip Affleck. Of all the people that have been really besmirching Mike and I... saying that we're monsters, that I'm stirring the pot, and nobody likes this type of radio. You write, and this is an addition to his original comment, and I took a screenshot of this because I said, well, this man has turned.
He'll eventually get to it.
Plus, I want to punch Oscar in the throat.
Yes, I read it.
Oh.
I read it. I remember
Are
that.
Are we really there, Trip? Are we really there?
Or is that, in fact, a category?
That laugh in the background, by the way, was Michael McIntosh, who will be spotlighted a little later on the program, because we refer to him. He is our sherbet. Our sherbet. He is our palate cleanser.
He is our saltine.
He is our orange sherbet. And is it sherbet or sherbert?
I think it's sherbet. Sometimes it's sherbet. Been bastardized into sherbert.
I'm going to send this over to right Pony with your permission, Mike. It's the perfect size for a show image.
Very good about being punched in the throat.
Yes.
Throat.
Yeah. There was. It's look. Hostility. I know. I have to say this. It comes with the territory. But if you're going to be, you know, popping off on that, I can talk about it on the show too.
Oh yeah.
I can talk about the one guy that brought my family. Oh, I feel for Michael and Carla. You know, you bastard. Don't bring my kid into this. You know. Don't bring my kid. You weren't in that beach store for 4 hours looking for a shark tooth necklace. You know? So bite me, pal.
Mike, sherbert is incorrect. It's a common misspelling based on a common mispronunciation.
It's sherbet.
Sherbet.
Sherbet, like sorbet.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That's what it is, similarly. So just to say this, when I spoke to you, she knows how I feel about where I'd love things to be. I don't require it from her. It has never been a requirement that our wives listen to the show. There are periods of time when Carla doesn't listen to the show. Shannon doesn't always listen to the show. Carrie doesn't listen to the show. That's never been the issue. The issue is I thought that I had contributed to a situation which really, at the end of the day, Rob, you can correct me if I'm wrong, really, by and large, outside of the fact that you work on this show, didn't involve me.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true.
That's kind of where it was. But hearing it from her was, and I know it was tough. Communicating like that when a lot of misinformation has been out there and a lot of feelings have been hurt is hard to do. It's hard to initiate. And I thank her for initiating it. And it felt good to speak with her. And I have one last question because I have to do it on the air.
Okay.
I could have called you, but I was tired. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to talk to you last night. I just wanted to go to bed.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to go to bed. And I had to watch 14 hours of Michael Cohen. So, I mean, that was what my question is, was there a part of her that felt a little better, at least after we talked last
night? It seemed to be. We didn't speak a lot last night. But she said that it is resolved and that it's well between you two. It's fine between you two. And that was the purpose of the phone call.
I hope it gets better because I think she is a bright, funny person. And I do feel very, very good feelings towards her.
I love her very much.
And really, you know, and I told her, but I also told her about the Facebook thing. I don't give a flying F about the Facebook thing. Mm-hmm. That's done. It doesn't matter. What mattered was communicating with her. So that's it. Yes.
I have an update. Yeah.
I really wanted to put it to bed at that moment.
I can't let this go. I'm so sorry.
In many ways,
he's worse at it than I am. You know that, right?
I know he is.
I'm an admin for the TMOS fan club, where a lot of this heat was coming from.
Well, by the way, I look at the names, too, on these threads of people that get erections.
Our friends.
When we have drama. No, they're the few people. I deal with Trip.
A friend.
I deal with Trip. Trip has criticized me before. It doesn't matter to me. I'm fine with Trip criticizing me. Trip has passion for the show. Ranique has passion for the show. Chewy has passion for the show. Yep. Those guys, I take a lot of crap. I don't like the names I don't know.
Oh, new guys.
That are really like, you know, and then you go down and you look and you say, who are they connected to? Mm-hmm. Who are they really connected to?
What's your deal?
Are the haters. It comes with the territory. What chaps my fat Irish ass is when you get somebody mentioning my kid.
Yeah, not fair.
I'll punch you right in the throat.
Ah! Boom.
There you go. I will punch you in the throat. Okay. Is there anything?
Yes. I just want to add this.
Why do you want to talk?
As soon as you asked, you started talking.
You want to let me finish?
Go.
So apparently Tripp was so off the reservation that they gave him a mandatory 3-day suspension. The TMOS admins, they gave him a 3-day suspension from the actual chat group.
You mean because of the throat comment?
No, because of everything else that was going on. And you should know that all day yesterday I'm getting da-ding, 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 because I'm an admin, so I'm in part of this admin thread. And everybody is back, and God bless the admins. They got a herd kittens. They don't know what's going on. Tripp is fighting them within the admin chat. He's fighting everybody, and they're like, time out, man. 3 days.
3 days. 72 hours.
And since we're on the subject of admin, Merle, would it kill you for a kind word once in a while? Would it? Huh? Yeah. So that's it. I mean, that's the world that we live in. That is the world that we live in. And it is a...
Oh, and Carrie wanted to know, are you free at 3:00 for another phone call today?
Absolutely.
Kidding,
anytime she wants to call me. And I told her that.
I don't mind saying that.
I mean, I'm teasing. I said, if she wants to talk to me, she can talk to me. And other than that, I think that we can kind of put this to rest and move forward with things. But there are people I'm not going to forget. There you go. No, I don't know. I don't care.
Hey, guard your throat.
Right.
Keep it covered. We're a turtleneck. Yep.
Mm-hmm. We have to finish the show. I'm having lunch with Elijah Cummings. Thank you very much.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
You have to understand something about the way I grew up. I grew up in a house that was food everywhere. Every 2 feet, you just bumped in. I had a grandmother who lived in the basement just cranking out lasagna. It's like a lasagna factory in the basement. Food just kept coming up the stairs for no reason. There was meat hanging from the ceiling. There's a sauce room with a bunch of dates on masking tape. We called her Grandma. That was her name, Grandma. No stupid nickname for my grandmother. You ever hear how people refer to their grandparents? Oh, this is my meemaw and my peepaw. What? This is my peepee and my poopoo. Guy's 95 years old. He fought in World War II. Stormed the beach at Normandy. Now his name is Peepee? What are you doing to the man? Have some respect.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Good morning, haters, live from the Podcast Village studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. I won't open many shows with good morning, haters.
I think that's a new catchphrase. That's your You Look Marvelous.
The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, is a worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners unrivaled in their love and support for their program. If you're a first-timer, sit back, relax, and prepare to be entertained. And for our longtime friends, try harder. From Flower Mound, Texas to Miamisburg, Ohio, from Wilmington, Delaware to Los Gatos, California, from Lisbon, New Hampshire to St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands, the Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Noom.
Noom.
Sticking to a weight loss plan can be hard, especially with the mental obstacles that hold you back from making progress. Let me tell you about Noom and how it can help you live a healthier lifestyle. With Noom, you'll lose the guilt and learn how to develop a new relationship with food. That's what's great about Noom. With Noom, you don't diet. You learn better habits for a new, better you. It's all about habit.
Of course.
Developing a habit. Noom puts weight loss in the palm of your hand. Literally, the Noom app is on your phone whenever and wherever you need it. Noom gives you a local, a live goal specialist. It might be local. It might live in your backyard.
Could be. Know.
A behavior change professional, nutrition expert, fitness trainer, all in one.
Shut up, girl.
My favorite part is that Noom has one of the biggest food databases. Let me tell you what that's about. Tracking your food. Anybody that's lost, gained. Tracking your food is it's kind of the gold standard. It's
bedrock. It's the bedrock part of any good diet.
It keeps you straight. It's what keeps you knowing what you're putting in your body, and that's a big deal. This Noom food database takes the agony out of food tracking. I really love it. Noom is designed for results. Lose your old habits by signing up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/TMOS. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/TMOS to start your trial today. Again, that's Noom.com/TMOS. Start losing weight for good. I want to start with a very pressing issue. Yesterday, we had a lot of stuff that we needed to cover, and then it kind of got out of hand.
Yes.
But today, I want to get to the number one issue of the day. Stop effing with Jeopardy.
Amen, brother.
You've blown it. You have blown it. You've taken an American institution, and you've monkeyed with it. You've effed with it. And you're stupid for doing that. And whoever the suit is, or the individual, I'll channel my inner Carm from The Sopranos. God forbid, God forgive you, Alex Trebek, if you had anything to do with this. I would really like to think at nearing 80 years old that Alex Trebek didn't, the poor old man had nothing to do with
this. What did they do to it?
They put a tournament of champions with fantasy Jeopardy and three people and doing one category, one board per night and not doing the whole show.
The same category all night?
One board.
One board. You've watched Jeopardy, right? You know how they have Jeopardy.
The TVs.
I've seen Jeopardy.
You've seen Jeopardy. And then they have double Jeopardy, right?
Yes. And you can get the daily double.
They have messed with Jeopardy.
Jeopardy con queso.
And by the way, I was on my deathbed, as you remember last week, when this was going down. So thank God I didn't have to see it from the beginning. Two nights ago, I turn it on. I said to my wife, what? I said the F word.
Don't say it.
I said, my son was probably within earshot. I probably shouldn't have said it in front of him. What the F is that? That's the, but you're right.
Hey, at least you did it in
that's
a quiz.
What they have to live with. Poor Carla and Michael.
At least
me
you did it in
about
a
Jeopardy, having another one of my tantrums, you dick.
Mike, at least you did it in a question form. What the F is going on?
What did they do with my favorite television program?
Now, my father is also upset. I've seen lots of negative reaction on online, including, you know what? All the way with Kiki K. She hates it, too.
Oh, no.
So can you walk
Why
us
do you
through?
Have to mention her? I don't think she did. She pile on?
No. She involved herself? No, she's right, too good. Pissed about Jeopardy. So Jeopardy can you walk us through the format? Because when my dad explained it.
Because I've watched it once, and I was so angry. I said, what are they doing? You're introduced to Ken Jennings and his team,
Dink.
And then Ken Jennings drafts two other members to be on his team, and then they determine who's going to play the first round, who's going to play the second round, who's going to play final 11. They've mucked it up. Here's the joy of Jeopardy. This is the joy. You know what we want with our half hour? In my case, it's 7:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Yes, amen.
On the local CBS affiliate down here.
Oh, CBS.
You know
down
what
there.
They want? No, NBC. I'm sorry, it is NBC.
All right.
This is the magic of Jeopardy. This is a 30 minute period of time where you get a beginning, a middle, and an end, and you get resolution. There's the nerd that you hated that won, angry. We'll see you tomorrow night. Maybe you can get bumped off. There's the joy.
Yep.
There's the joy of
a
Jeopardy.
A perfectly formatted game show.
And the other joy, the other joy of Jeopardy is that you can show off your smarts.
Yep.
And some people do it. I remember one time it was one relationship I was in years ago. I may have recorded it and played it like it was live just to pretend I knew all the answers. That's how insecure and petty I am. I've done that. I think a lot of people have done that. By the way, it's a great game. If people don't care, if you're with somebody in a relationship, be it male, female, whatever it is, and you don't think that they really care, but they do watch Jeopardy in the background,
yes,
record it secretly.
Yes.
Then play it after you've memorized the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. They'll think you're a genius. If they're not bright enough to pick up on it, you know, continue it. But anyway, no, but they've taken the game, and here's the way I understand it. You get former champions who have the ability to draft a number of other champions, and they... What?
I was going to say, already it's flawed, and here's why. No one cares about former champions.
Before you jump in,
I don't
let
know
me
what's
explain
going
it
on.
Out. I all know right. you like it too, but let me explain
Daily
it, okay?
Double.
All right. They take the champions, and then they draft other champions so that they form teams of three people. Then they get together, a la Big Brother,
Ooh.
And have a little discussion about who's going to go first, who's going to go second. And then they do two nights instead of one night, where the first night is the first board and the second night is the Double Jeopardy and the Final Jeopardy.
It's,
so they've effed that up. Go ahead. What were you going to say? Yes. What? Not, if, what?
It's academic on steroids.
It's nothing like it's
you don't
academic.
Care. You got don't pretend
all.
You care.
You got three
you
people.
Care.
Yeah, but on it's
you
academic, they're all three playing at the same time.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say this might be somewhat dynamic if you cared about the people who were playing. But outside of Ken Jennings, who, by the way, is as dinkiest of a dink as they come, no
right.
one knows the champions. No
yeah.
one cares.
Ken Jennings, though, is a prodigy. I mean, when you see Ken Jennings standing up there with two other contestants, you might as well take their oversized brains and put them into a blender, because he is going to make chimichanga sauce out of them. He is going to be, or chimuri sauce, whatever.
But he is also, not only is he smart, you know where he was, a lot of people agreed, he was an exceptional clicker. That was his skill.
But he also knows the answers.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched him that first night, even though, because that was the only attraction of an otherwise bastardized game, that you got Ken Jennings up there going,
how many three-on-three teams?
I don't know how many total teams. I mean, they're doing it like on multiple nights, so I'm not sure how many teams, but it might be... I don't know. I don't know the answer. Have you been watching it
at all? I've not been able to watch it. I would think it would be more fun if all three of them had to be in the podium at the same time.
Got it.
So you had nine people
not.
Up there.
They're not.
But you see,
what
they're not.
What they do, as I said before, is the Ken Jennings, the grand poobah, select the people that are going to play in each round.
So did Jennings...
So it's one person on the team plays the first round, and then the next person plays Double Jeopardy, and then the next person plays Final.
Where
Jeopardy.
Did Jennings put himself?
First round.
That's smart.
Ooh.
You build up a pad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And pressure to the rest of the team.
With it. So I just wanted to go back to
normal. And you still track
with it? No, I don't watch it. I Ooh. Stopped watching it. I don't watch it at all. Damn. I'm not watching it. And by the way, they're going to get a rude awakening. You'll never see it again. I guarantee you, you won't see it. Let me tell you why. Because the people like me that are habitual Jeopardy watchers are going to go, thank you. Let me know when it's back to normal. They'll all come back when it's back to normal. Yeah. But they're not going to watch this dog and pony show. It's
Merv
ridiculous.
Had to be dead for this to happen.
Absolutely.
Merv wouldn't let this do.
He's turning over in his giant piano in the sky.
He's turning over very slowly.
Do you think this has to do anything? Because we've got March Madness coming around the corner, right? Do you think somebody was in a meeting and said, well, we've got that sports thing happening in March. It'd be great if we had our own tournament that we could highlight.
They're tapping into fantasy football because they have a fantasy draft where you can play at home. They all love that, play at home.
Now I'm interested. You saying I could pick players?
You know, don't do this. Don't do
this. Well, you didn't set it up that way from the beginning.
Don't make it sound like they're doing a good thing. They're not doing a good thing. They're taking a traditional. Can you just take one slice of America and not have to shine it up? Not have to new it up, for Christ's sake.
I don't blame the writers. I don't blame the producers. You know who I blame? The Clue Crew.
No, the Clue Crew has probably nothing to do with it. They toil about in their little beehive, their little brainy beehive. They toil about coming up with their clues. By the way, that's a small, I think it's like a 12, staff of 12 or something like that. They're brilliant to come up with clue after clue. Not like the Jeopardy, and not like the Wheel of Fortune people, you know. They go, a delicious pie. You know, those people, you could get... You get anybody could do that.
I've got an idea.
Pony could work on that.
The puzzle I'll solve. Smell my fingers.
Right.
That's
by the way,
that's
you
know, it's weird. It's weird that Wheel and Jeopardy are a perfect 1 hour package because they really cater to a
different audiences.
I'll just say this, a different portion of your brain.
Yeah.
They really do.
I think if we were to really really, really do a deep dive on Wheel of Fortune, we could probably bring an idiot sound clip every single night.
Of course.
You know, when every letter in every single letter in cotton candy has been picked except for one. And you get the people who are still spinning because they're so stupid they can't solve the prize.
Yet. I'd like to solve it, please. The Wizard of Iz.
You get them. You've had them before.
Yeah,
it's happened.
Would you guys watch a movie based on the Clue Crew from Jeopardy?
Are they solving mysteries?
No, it's actually how they work within the actual room to set up the boards and how
that would
they
be interesting. To
I would
me.
Love that.
Really?
I would like
yeah.
to see that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't love it, but I'd like it. I'm not sure I'd, and we're going to talk about a documentary behind the scenes about the Fire Festival later in the show.
But if you want the Clue Crew doc to sell, they have to change the spelling to C-R-U-E and two dots over the U. And umlaut. Then it's cool.
By the way, and since we moved from Jeopardy to Wheel,
yes,
and
Wheel.
We have discussed it periodically. And listen, this is age appropriate for our listeners who are aging out just like we are. Let me ask this question. When you watch Alex, look at the joy and the thrill he has. Do you want to know what makes him turgid? What makes him turgid is when they don't get the final puzzle. That
not
he opens
Alex,
that,
Pat.
Yeah. I'm sorry, they're interchangeable. Pat Zajac. He was eating a chocolate during the game last night, which was a real departure from the because one of the clues was chocolate, and more chocolate.
Like it wasn't chocolate.
By the way, that was a tough puzzle. To figure out.
It was.
Chocolate, and more chocolate.
That's Willy Wonka?
No, duh. So he's eating chocolate. But the thing about Pat is thrilled.
He loves it.
When they miss the puzzle at the end and he can open that little card up and it's
$100,000. Yep.
Because Pat in his brain, I know he thinks like this. Look what I saved the producers.
Yeah.
Smithers. All right, we have to take a break. But fun. When we come back, we'll chat with our intern, Mac, who's fresh from Rent-A-Center, and where he's doing really, really good things. Aren't you, Mac?
Absolutely.
Sure. We'll take a break and come back with more fun on the Mike Over Show.
In the 1870s, Buffalo Bill Cody returned to Iowa to make his fortune in the search for the world's biggest strawberry. At his side was his trusty Colt revolver, and trailing his covered wagon was his trusty sidekick, Little Steve, riding his Palomino Llama with its Romanian hand-tan gypsy saddle. Well, time marched on. Buffalo Bill left Iowa, but Little Steve stayed behind and bought a radio station, KCJJ, the mighty 1630, known far and wide for its music, information, and the place for great deals on dining room furniture and Iowa City molasses. Today, Little Steve is all grown up, and at 93, is known as Captain Steve. He's replaced the llama with a microphone. You don't have to salute him, you just have to listen to him every morning and occasionally bring him a cookie. Start your day with Captain Steve and Jim Hunter right here on the mighty 1630 KCJJ from 5 a.m. until they can't feel their toes, and bring him a cookie.
I'm writing another promo in my brain right now for KCJJ about Steve Bridges, and this time we should use the newsreel voice from World War II.
Okay, yes.
Steve Bridges, a man that's
I bet Steve Bridges never misses wheel.
Probably not. Any feedback on that particular promo from Mr. Bridges?
No. Do you ever get any feedback? No, I haven't heard from him about it.
Oh, that bastard. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Liquid IV. Oscar, I got to ask you this.
Yes.
Probably shouldn't be doing this in a celebrity endorsement commercial, but you know, I buy the product. I buy it. I purchase it myself.
Yeah.
My question is, thanks, Rob. I know I see you have it there. I know you have yours. I have, I ordered my Liquid IV. I am between Liquid IV shipments right now. Mm. Could you be a dear and talk to the people at Liquid IV and explain to them that even though I am so supportive of their product that I buy it myself, could you tell them to send me about 1,000,001 packets of for free? Yes. I'd like to get
a double dip situation.
Would you explain to the people at Liquid IV? Please tell the people at Liquid IV that I am willing right now, and I'm telling you this sincerely, I am willing to allot half of my garage down here in Southwest Florida to put boxes. I'm not sure. I buy the little boxes because they have like 24 or something of the packets. And
what about the satchel?
I'll take whatever they would want to give. I would allot half of my garage to Liquid IV packets simply because I like it so bad. Liquid IV.
Done.
If you don't know what it is, we're talking about a proper hydration drink that is not only delicious, but it is good for you. It is different than Pedialyte and Gatorade because it has no artificial flavors or preservatives. When you mix it with 16 ounces of water, it actually helps your body absorb more of the water and nutrients you drink directly into your bloodstream. Tell the people at Liquid IV that I'm not just endorsing this product because they're a fine sponsor of the Mike O'Mara.
You've got storage. Yes.
I've got, and I also love this. I know they have other people. Maybe they have other people endorse their product, but I am the one that loves it more.
You live it.
Yes, you're right.
I love it more because it's non-GMO, it's vegan, it's free of gluten, dairy, and soy, and it is so delicious. And it makes me feel so good, and I'm not exaggerating this, that I want
really
it.
Is that good.
I am going to continue to buy it, but I'm going to ask you, but I've never asked for a naked promotion. Maybe the Sleep Number people. Maybe I've asked for a bed.
Twice.
But twice. But let me tell you this. I am willing to... I'm going to go one step further. I will fill a part of my sister's home in Maine with Liquid IV product. Yes.
Damn!
She built a garage next to her house.
For what? Going there for a cup of coffee.
I can talk her into it. Liquid IV is the fastest growing hydration brand, and you can find it everywhere, even Costco. Well, see, I'm going to go to Costco today instead of doing
Yeah, but you don't, waiting. Mike, you need supplies for the rest
of
the season.
Any pallets? I'd like a few pallets. You can find Liquid IV, at Costco. You can find it at all Costco's nationwide now. If you've never tried it, sometimes I've seen the little ladies that are doing it.
Yeah.
Go grab a freebie. But tell her, bring your own bottle
of
water.
TMOS sent you.
And just tell her to give me the, tell TMOS and say, hey, that's a nice sample. Give me the whole packet. I love Liquid IV, and I know you will too. Right now, our listeners
Everybody
get 20%
try.
Off. at liquidiv.com when you use our code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order on the Liquid IV website. Go to liquidiv.com and enter the promo code TMOS to get your savings and start getting better hydration. That's liquidiv.com, promo code TMOS. Don't wait. Get hydrated today.
Can I get one of those, Rob?
Yeah, of course.
I'd like some Liquid IV. Wouldn't you want one too, Mike? Boom, bam!
Boom!
Woo. Don't you really need your Liquid IV tomorrow, Mr. Mayor?
Oh, yes, I do.
Anyway, yeah, that'll be. That's tomorrow. That's Friday Oscar when he'll come in going,
I thought Jeopardy was great.
Yeah. Don't put your finger in my water, please.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, Mac.
Hi, Mike.
Welcome back. It's great to see you. We see you periodically, which is more than I can say for Adrian Garcia, who has gone totally AWOL. All I get from Adrian Garcia now is, let me just say, if you want a free upgrade, you don't say right out of the gate, I want a free upgrade.
He's a good follow on social media, though.
He brings it a little bit. I'd love to get him back in here, but now we've got Michael McIntosh. So the big question for you, have you been promoted?
I have not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think you've reached the ceiling, right?
No.
Is there for you?
I mean, there's higher levels of technician.
Really?
Yeah, I'm tech level one, but there's 2 and 3 available.
So two comes after 1 and then 3?
Correct.
I see.
Insane. What do you got to for that?
Hey!
Excuse me. Family show. Come on now. All right? Come on. What are you doing?
I'm not sure anybody wants that.
Come on.
What I love about Mac, he's literally thinking about that question. He's like, who do I have to?
Yeah.
How are you? What's new in your
world? Feminine general manager.
It could be a female. You never know.
Could be.
No.
Okay.
Not at Liquor Center.
Yeah, exactly.
What's new in your world, pal?
A new thing at Micro Center is I had my 20th insect-infested computer this week. Yay.
Hold on just a second. This is a Michael McIntosh update. McIntosh 2019. The very latest on the world and career of Michael McIntosh. Tonight, we dive into insects in the computer.
Go ahead. You know what I love is that you have a lot of news beds, but that is your human interest story news bed. That's very different than a breaking news bed.
Oh, you want a breaking news one? This, ladies and gentlemen, is Michael McIntosh. And now, here's Mike O'Mara to interview Michael McIntosh about breaking news of bugs in the computer. You mean like real insects
like
in the computer?
Cockroaches, usually.
Ho, stop. Okay, now I'm interested. You're telling me that at Micro Center, where you are an imagination.
Level one technician.
You're a level one Imagineer at Micro Center, and you are telling me that people bring computers in that have been infested with cockroaches?
Yes, that is correct.
Wow. Now, I know that bugs, I know from my aunt, what's that?
La Cucaracha. It's my only cockroach song.
Mac, I know that a while back somebody told me ants, when I had the ghost ants down here, that they are attracted to electronics. Are all insects attracted to electronics?
Somewhat. It's computers run warm, so it's very hot inside of them, and then that's usually what attracts them to inside it. And then, I've never, out of the 20 I've seen, all of them have been dead. I've not seen any live bugs.
What's
in any
the case. Most number of cockroaches you saw
Great
inside
question.
The inner workings of a computer?
Probably my first one, there was about 30 cockroaches in a power supply.
In the power supply?
Yeah. And that's small little area.
The brick.
Yeah, the large brick in the back
of
the computer.
Wow, they must have been really cold.
Let's play the tape of the first time he opened the computer with the cockroach in it. there.
Good boy.
And then he reaches in and, oh my goodness. Watch out. All right.
You know what else cockroaches love other than heat?
What?
Is the paper bags. The glue that, one of the reasons a lot of grocery stores switched to plastic bags, it was A, expense, but also they fed on the glue that held paper bags together, those flat-bottom grocery bags in the day. And so if you ever had people like donate grocery bags back, invariably you'd find bugs. So stay away from grocery bags like that, paper bags.
Ew.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
Yeah.
I have a follow-up, Mac, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Do you ever, when you're unscrewing the power supply, because look, it's a community service really to deal with these computers and bring them back to life, in my eyes. You have to have the patience of a saint. When someone brings you the computer, do they say, hey, I don't know what happened. There might be a bug inside, or I saw something crawl in, or do they just not know and you don't know what you're going to get?
Yeah, they don't know. I mean, I...
Oh, so when you open it up, that's the first time you go, oh my God, there are cockroaches inside of here.
Yes, correct. I mean, the first time I was kind of surprised because... the first time I was kind of surprised... I've kind of thank you, Mr. Wilhelm.
So you open it up for the first time.
I opened it up for the first time, and that was by far the worst. But at first, I saw like little one of my associates saw like little
associates.
Yeah,
colleagues. Nice.
Associates.
What did he say?
He found a little. Yes, he said.
He said
that.
That's
exactly what he said. When I saw a little cockroach wing in it, and I didn't know what to think about it, so then I looked in the power supply, and that's when I find all of them. But every single
are they rattling around? I mean,
no, they're dead.
They're dead.
Yeah, but I mean,
and
still
you
they're corpses.
Like a maraca.
Yeah, is it like in a tower? The power supply
usually,
is.
I mean, I've seen it in all different types of computers. I've seen it in external hard drives. I've seen it in laptops. I've seen it. Usually, it is desktops though. Usually, the really really dusty ones.
Sure.
That's gross right there. The really dusty ones, which means some person that's like living in a dirty
squalor
home.
Yeah.
Squalor. Why did you mention squalor?
You don't know if it's squalor. I picture Newman's desk in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Well, that's more clutter than dirt, I think.
It's gross, though.
Yeah,
it's
gross. Yeah. And clutter breeds
but
dirt.
But where there's clutter like Newman's desk in Jurassic Park, there's dirt, too.
Mike.
There's crumbs. There are
crumbs.
He
has a name, and it's Wayne Knight.
Wayne Knight.
What was his character's name?
I thought I wanted something salty, Naturally. But I wanted something sweet. I wasn't sure what I was going to say. Some sweet or salty. Oh, my God. Right? Is that
Thank
when he's
you,
making
Mr.
an
Knight.
Excuse?
What's his character name, Pony?
Oh, Nedry.
Nedry, of course.
Nedry.
You didn't say the magic word.
A tribute to Jurassic Park, which was like, totally by surprise. I like that. That's wonderful. I would imagine opening up a computer, Mac, that somebody brings in to fix, and then you see five dead cockroach would be just about one of the grossest things ever.
It was at first, but after my 20th, it's no big deal. Because most people, I have heard stories of bugs in computers, but most people, like someone's been working there 3 years, never gotten one. Most people I've ever heard was getting one, and I have somehow gotten 20.
Do you know
You're
that
the cockroach expert
that the original bug that they call, you know, if a computer program has a problem, it's called a bug. The original bug was in a huge computer at Penn State. They actually have the original bug in a jar that was in the computer that they found that was messing up. It was a
what
mechanical
do you mean the original bug. What are you talking about?
The first time they used the phrase a bug in a computer program, meaning something.
It was a real bug?
It was an actual insect, and it was at Penn State.
Because
might have been the ENIAC.
Term.
Was it the ENIAC, Pony?
Yeah, that sounds about right. And it would get into where like the punch cards are. Where
and it would actually prevent
and
stuff
from
moving.
And is that where the expression, the computer's got a bug in it?
Exactly. Yeah, but exactly. They have the original bug in a jar.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
Act, do you ever find any sticky computers?
Oh.
Yes.
Is it usually like a soda or Kool-Aid?
I prefer not to think about it because it could be anything.
I had not thought about that.
That's exactly what you were thinking.
No. Because I have seen someone we all know drop a Mountain Dew into his computer in the past, and it'll get fixed later. I'm like, no, it won't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happens all the time.
I am curious about it. You know, I think it would probably be something liquid. Obviously, this is I'm answering my question before I ask it, but you know, what is the most expensive damage? Is it moisture, water that you can, I mean, if you spill something into a computer, is that what tanks all the stuff?
Yeah, more liquid, than anything liquid's going to, if not immediately fry the board, it's going to corrode it and then just, I mean.
And it also, Mike, it depends on the price of the liquid. If it's the Chateau Rothschild 87 that you spill into it, you're going to lose the wine and the computer.
Exactly.
Yes, it'll be a very, very expensive repair. But I mean, I know that I spilled water one time into a computer and it tanked it,
yeah.
And I had to get a brand new one. You know, can you repair a computer that has been like submerged?
Technically, yes, but it wouldn't be cost effective.
Mm. Okay, you'd have to replace it
unless you had a warranty.
Yes, correct. And but that would be, we would just replace a computer.
Have you ever found anyone that has brought in a computer and there is a slice of bologna in the disk drive?
I have not, but I want to.
What about
would
this?
Would you eat it? Would you eat it
God,
if
no.
you found it?
He would, with cockroaches on it.
And again, we're not naming names.
Of course not.
But yes. I imagine that if you're going to a tech center, there's got to be a lot of conversations of, and I could see when, hey, I lost all my kids' pictures and my family pictures, the hard drive's fried. Do you ever get the folks, the younger guys that come in, and you know they don't have a family. They're just like, oh, man, like this thing crashed. I don't know why. But you know as soon as you open it up, you're like, I know why. This thing has been like put through the ringer or something. There's not even a liquid. There's a powder. There's salt. There's something else in it.
Yes. I mean, we've seen everything.
Like what?
I don't want to say anything exactly, and nothing comes to mind at the moment.
Did you ever find like a French fry or what's the craziest thing outside of a bug?
I mean, we've seen like whole crackers.
You mean like not even broken?
Correct.
Like a saltine.
Yeah.
That is a nutty. Saltine make its way into the hard
vent.
Work?
Through the vent
I
at
don't
the top.
Know.
For the fan, if you're working with a tower, any like something skinny, and
it
something
has to. You know
brittle.
What? It could definitely be a kid thing because I remember one time, and I've said this before. I had a DVD player that stopped working, and before I threw it away, I took the lid off just to see what was going on. There was a stack of 8 poker chips in it because Robert kept opening the drawer, putting a poker chip in, and closing it, and then it would fall down. So I think kids have a certain want to put things in places where they go.
We could play this game all day long. You know, I have a friend in California that works on computers. You know what he found in it?
What?
A whole surfboard.
Oh, no.
Okay, there we go. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Mac. But you're still enjoying the work, Mac?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Everything all right at home?
Oh, yeah. My parents still want me to move out, but yeah.
Tell them about the big day tomorrow, Mac.
I know. Tell them Red Lobster.
No. Yeah, it's his birthday tomorrow.
Yes.
Oh, he's going to Red
Lobster.
Oh, it's
your birthday.
Yeah.
You came in for your birthday. Aww. And Mom and Dad are going to take you to Red Lobster?
Absolutely.
Are you going to have your best friend come with you?
Actually, yes. He is coming to see
you. Oh, that's wonderful.
And then they're going to go home, Mike, and put a cheddar cheese biscuit into his computer.
We'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Oh, it's Paulie. Oh. By now, you guys should know I submit the best promos.
Oh, wait a minute, Paulie. I think the promos I submit are far more creative and highlight everything you can find on MikeO'MearaShow.com.
Oh, come on, Jimbo. Don't be a jamook. Everyone loves the promos I submit. Did you hear my Valentine's promo? Forget about it.
Have you heard the effects I can do with my promos? I can use things like reverb. I can even use echo.
Echo. Echo.
Let's both agree that the one thing you need to do is subscribe to the bonus show featuring the man who we hold so near and dear to our heart,
Mike O'Meara. Do it today.
God, a promo about a promo.
So silly.
I love it. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Ring's mission is to make neighborhoods safer. Ring helps you stay connected to your home from anywhere in the world. So if there's a package, a delivery, or a surprise visitor, you get an alert. And you'll be able to see, hear, and speak to them all from your phone, no matter where you are, thanks to the HD video and two-way audio feature on Ring devices. I just got the Ring floodlight cam. I can keep track of Maine while I'm in Florida. I check it 3 times a day, especially when there's a big storm coming. It's, you know, that's another reason you can use it. It's not just for people, but it does send me alerts when anybody comes by looping around the home. It's motion-activated security camera with built-in floodlights, a siren alarm, two-way audio, so you can see, hear, and speak to anyone in your property, on your property, from anywhere. I'm in love with it. Here's a pro tip. Get the protection plan. All of your Ring video will be saved forever. And that equals peace of mind. So if something happens, you've got it. There it is. Video evidence. As a TMOS listener, you have access to a special offer on a Ring Starter Kit. It's available right now. It has a video doorbell, motion-activated floodlight cam. This starter kit has everything you need to start building a ring of security around your home. Just go to ring.com/TMOS. That's ring.com/TMOS and start living safer today. And we thank you. All right. Do we ever get any more feedback on Rob's performance at the thing?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yes, okay. I appreciate it.
Because I wanted to put, before everything, before I got the flu, we were talking about that.
For the problem, come on, before
we
Matt coming
in. We only have a couple
of
minutes, but you did get some feedback from people.
I got a private message from the coordinator of the program, the actual, like one of the volunteers.
And not the head honchos.
Because it's
one
all volunteers. They're all helping out.
It's an art space. Volunteers.
They said that they had heard the show and the segment on the show, thought it was funny. They appreciate the support we give every year. And they said that Rob has a different type of style, as I have a different type of style. And each style was appreciated by the audience.
That's it. And that's the volunteers.
Yes,
that means you're coming back.
No, they said they would appreciate if the alcohol was kept to a minimum, which is a nice, just be careful.
Yeah.
Were they? Do you think they were directing that at both of you?
Well, I wasn't
drinking. No, he didn't drink.
So
they were saying that to Rob.
I was
but you said you had, three all night?
I had three before I hook up and then one more after. But I never, the third beer I finished while I was actually hosting.
The you standing with the beer.
Well, I didn't. I just went over and took a sip. And I also offered a toast to the crowd. It was not a dry crowd. Not a dry crowd whatsoever.
Well, that's what those things are, right?
Yeah, people exactly.
But it's not, it's really also not advertised as like BYOB. It's not endorsed.
Right. But it's not. Right. Well, you know what? Then maybe I misread the group. I thought it went well.
You know, I've gotten in trouble drinking at auctions because I lose track of the numbers, you know?
Now, to be fair, I never lost track.
No, well, you've got a better math mind than I do. But if I'm, I just know there was, and maybe not a bunch. I've done a million of them.
Yeah.
But there was one particular auction where I was just going, we'll start at $100. You got $150, $150, $100.
Oh, yeah.
What do you want?
Oh, an
excuse
actual.
Me? Okay, $150, $200. Yeah. $150, $200 down. Excuse me, sir? Well, sir, why don't you bill it? Hey, listen. Pal. Why don't you just bid on the house for this for rent, the vacation home? Okay? Why don't you bid on the vacation home? You can take that troll of a wife to that house.
Oh no!
F me. F you. And then they took me out. The security came.
To be fair, I've done auctions like that where you have to keep track of the bids. Those are a different breed of auction. Much harder. This was basically call and reply.
Call and reply.
Do you have that song that's
I'm getting it right now.
Rob's actually got a song that I recorded. I'm so skilled at doing the auctions when I'm sober that they actually recorded a song.
This is when Mike actually he went by the name Leroy Van Dyke.
Yes. Hey, well, all right, sir. Here we go there. What are we going to give for him? I'm at $600 down here now. 10 and now, 25 and now, 35 and now, 50 and now, 60. We'll give him 60 now, 75. 75, another $85 on the bottom there. There was a boy in Arkansas who wouldn't listen to his ma when she told him he should go to school.
For those of you who want to find that was a big hit in 2010.
And actually, when I really get confident in an auction, I will do a little bit of the happy be forward. And a minute 40, 45, 50.
When you lived up here, did you ever go to Law's Auction House?
Yes.
On 28?
I bought sculpture greyhound dogs that stayed in my daughter's bedrooms for years and years and years when I lived in that old house in Manassas, Virginia.
I've been there a few times, half a dozen maybe, and it was a fun.
It's
always,
not there anymore.
No, it was always a fun thing because occasionally you would get a guy that really knew what he was doing, and it's a little scary.
I'm a terrible person at an auction because I do what the auctioneer loves. I get competitive.
Yep,
Even if it's something that they count on. Yeah, but I have a take no prisoners attitude, which is just stupid. You know, you spent $200 on the pen?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I didn't want that lady with the hat to get it.
Do you ever bid up somebody like they do in Storage Wars?
Don't have that discipline. No, I'm the one that gets bid up.
He wants to be bid up.
Oh,
I'm the one that gets bid up.
He's the mark.
Right.
Yep.
We have a. Yep. By the, okay, we have a 1978 paint by numbers painting that will start the bidding at $50.
Yep.
50. All right. Do I have a thousand? Yes, I got a thousand. 1,050 sold to the idiot in row 7 that just bid $1,050 on that particular thing. I'm not good at it. I'm not good. And I've never gone because I'm terrified of it. I have never gone to a car auction. Have you gone to a car auction?
Yes, I've gone to plenty in Phoenix.
Wow.
See, that would be fun. I would love to get a car at a car auction.
So, and I've gone to a car auction with a dealer, which is even more enticing because you're.
But Mike, it was a drug dealer.
You're there with you're there with a dealer.
So he knows what he's doing.
Well, that's and so you're
I don't want to. I don't want to beat on this car, El Chapo.
Man, that's a Chrysler. You don't want that.
So you have to do your due diligence. You have to inspect the car prior to the auction, correct? With your mechanic.
No, at a dealer auction, you get a look-see, and you have to you're weighing the risk. At least the one I went to in Phoenix, and you're weighing the risk of like what is wrong with this car, if it's actually running, if there are problems. You get to look at it beforehand. But if you know nothing about cars, you're kind of at the whimsy of how much armor all they put on to the car to make it look great. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So
I just think if you ever wanted a beater, it would be kind of cool to do that. Did you get the sense when you were at this that they get really incredible deals?
Deal is great for your common man because it's two to five thousand at that time less than sticker price. So for me, I'm like the Blue Book, the Kelly Blue Book. Says this thing's $5,000-$7,000 more. The dealer's like, well, these are our margins for a used car.
Right.
So every car that came by, I was like, let's get that one. And he looked at me. He's like, no, man. We're here to find specific things we need for our inventory. Because I was just a tag along.
And by the way, this is a fact, and you only get it on this show. And that is why when you buy a car, whether it be used or new, the average profit on each car made by the dealership is $75,000. Right. Just so you know that. All right, that's it. Just wanted to make sure you're aware of that. That's a, you know, it's called the holdback.
Yes, of course.
So if you spend $30,000 on a car, the holdback is usually right around 30 or 40, and then it's another 30 or 40 on top of that from the sticker price.
And then Mike, that doesn't even count the undercoating.
Nope. If it's undercoating, you know, get ready for that dealer to have another beach house. We'll take a break, and when we come back, it's the way I understand it. News you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
For your consideration.
Brie, American, Gouda, mild cheddar, camembert, provolone, baby bell, parmesan, mascarpone, burrata, feta, ricotta, gruyere, asiago, gorgonzola, Havarti, Monterey Jack, Stilton, Swiss, Fontina, pecorino romano, and buffalo mozzarella.
She didn't name all of the cheeses, but she named enough of the cheeses. She's Madeline Masiello, the queen of cheese, only on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And proud, proud, proud. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Zappos. We're thrilled to remind you that our partnership with Zappos continues with big things to come. Just, file that, all right? Renique, we'll see you there. And thanks for the support. Zappos.com offers all of the latest and greatest footwear, apparel, handbags, and accessories. And thanks to over 1,000 trusted brand names, Zappos.com is able to help millions of customers create a long-lasting wardrobe that they love. Our partnership is built on listener support. So when you need footwear, apparel, basically, if you wear it, get it at Zappos, the best customer service. And for a limited time, Zappos.com is offering all their TMOS friends 15% off their purchase by using the code TMOS at checkout. You shop, you save, you support. As always, Zappos.com provides fast, free shipping, free and easy returns, 24/7 friendly customer service, and a 365-day return policy. Remember, Zappos.com and the TMOS code for 15% off, and we thank you, Zappos.
News!
Jada Pinkett Smith has been having great success with her Facebook Watch series. A lot of these series now popping up on Facebook. It's called Red Table Talk. And now, Will has a Facebook show of his own. It's called Will Smith's Bucket List. It's got a little splash a while back when they showed a promo for it with him, I think, skydiving.
Skydiving, well, right.
It's got him traveling the world, taking part in crazy challenges, like swimming with sharks, appearing in a Bollywood movie, and doing stand-up with Dave Chappelle. So this is some serious stuff put behind this show. It's a 6-episode series, and the first episode hit the web yesterday. It's got him skydiving with Jada in Dubai. Mm. A new episode will appear every week, and you know, it's fun, it's interesting, and I bet he's getting everything for free. That's that's the way they're rolling. Not that they knew it. I'm going to Dubai to jump out of an airplane, and I'm a white guy trying to rap. Forget it. Thank you very much. Let me blow myself up. This was an interview Howie did. I'm not sure where he did it. I think it says it here, but I'm not sure. Howie Mandel does an interview this last week. He talks about being in his 30s when his father died back in 1989. I've talked about death in my family and how, you know, it seems like no matter who we're planting, who passes away, there's always some comedy that comes out of it. Well, in 89, obviously in his 30s, it's a devastating time. I lost my father in my 30s. Yet his memorial turned into a comedy of errors that's hard for him not to look back on and laugh. Here's the story. The family was receiving mourners at the house, and one guy walked in and asked Howie if he was the son. Then he started telling him what a wonderful singer his father was, but Howie's father never sang. They quickly realized that the guy was at the wrong funeral.
Oh, no.
But it gets worse. Later that day, Howie was talking to an old friend of his dad's. Right in the middle of a sentence, the man said, quote, "I gotta go," and he ran out of the house. As the guy took off, Howie noticed something on the ground, and he thought it was, he thought it was a piece of candy.
Sure.
That the man had dropped, so he picked it up and tried to call after the man, but the guy didn't stop. He just kept going. That's when Howie realized what he was holding. It was poo.
Oh, no!
The man had a stomach disorder. You know, as you know, Howie's got an extreme germaphobe.
Germaphobe, right?
He said, "My mom screamed, and we're screaming, and she takes me into the bathroom, and she scalds my hand." It's so funny. "She's pouring like alcohol and I'm screaming." He added, quote, "The worst day of my life, and it was laugh after laugh after ridiculous laugh." That's just a fun. I got to go find that interview and watch how he told this story, because that does sound funny as hell. You remember the guy, Johnny Manziel, the football
Manziel.
Player?
Sure.
Was a complete Manziel. Yes. Manziel, who was an F-up. He played for the Browns. He was a huge bust in the NFL because he liked partying more than he liked.
Howie played for the Browns, didn't he?
Yes, the Browns. Yes, it's the scalding Browns. well, Howie, Johnny Manziel has played the last year with different teams in the Canadian Football League. Yesterday, he was released by the Montreal Alouettes, and the CFL promptly banned him altogether. It's unclear what he did. They're not saying. They're playing it close to the vest with the CFL. Johnny went on Twitter and thanked his Canadian fans and said he'll look for opportunities to play football again in the U.S. Obviously, he isn't coming back to the NFL, so he'll probably try to get on with the AAF for the new XFL. So,
you know, it's, you know, a lot of people think wasted. A lot of people think the CFL isn't tough, but how can you say that when you have a team called the Alouettes?
Alouette, Jonte, Alouette, bonjour.
Hello.
If you're going to eat 2 pounds of chocolate every day,
I'm listening.
You might as well get paid for it, Rob. Cadbury.
Yes, say British. Cadbury.
Cadbury, they have the cream eggs, just put up a job posting for a new chocolate taste tester.
Mm. Ah.
If you get it, you'll spend around 8 hours a week at $14 an hour trying chocolates at their headquarters in Workingham, England. And no, I don't think they'll pay for relocation. They say anyone can apply because they're not necessarily looking for someone with experience, just someone with a passion for chocolate who gives honest opinions and, no nut allergy. So my son would be out of that.
I'm a chocolate enthusiast. This is a shock to no one, but I am not a big fan of the Cadbury cream egg. Where do you stand on it?
No, I don't care for it.
I think it's too much goo, and I don't think Cadbury chocolate is all that.
What about
Peeps?
I think
it's gross.
Peeps I like.
Okay.
Thank you. Researchers looked at how much it costs for two people to go out for dinner on a date and see a movie and have one drink each at the end of the night. And since you're drinking, they also factor into the price of an Uber or a Lyft.
Okay.
Out of the 50 cities they looked at, the most expensive place to date, obviously, New York.
Mm.
And Oklahoma City is the cheapest.
Worth
yeah,
it.
I wanna, I'm fixing to go out on a date.
The five most expensive cities are New York, $156 per date, San Francisco, $145, San Jose, $142, Seattle, $137, and Miami, $127. Here are the cheapest cities, Oklahoma City, Milwaukee, Richmond, Virginia, Rob Spiewak.
It's excellent.
Cincinnati, and by the way, Richmond, Milwaukee, Oklahoma City's $88, then Milwaukee, $95, Richmond, $98, Cincinnati, $99, and Charlotte also $99.
Mac just passed me a note. Do you have the statistics including the cost of the escort?
I don't know. There were cockroaches in the computer when
I printed it out.
The median cost out of all 50 cities is $110. That includes about $23 for Uber rides, $43 for dinner, $9 in tips, $24.2 for movie tickets, and $11 for
Are you getting dinner for $43?
Yeah, you can do it cheap. You can do it. You know, you dinner for two
Applebee's.
Down here. We can go to a place and get it for about $38 if we're
TGI
not drinking.
TGI Fridays.
I suppose. Seemed a little low.
It's all about portions.
Tell me about it.
By the way, if you want a cheap date, fly down to West South Florida. Go to Margarita. Monday at Guanamia, $2 margarita.
There you
go. $2.
But that date means
that's two massive margaritas that will get you buzzed for $8. I recommend it.
That median date analysis didn't have any alcohol in it.
No, it included a drink each.
One drink?
Yeah.
At the end of the night, a drink. But for dates with me back in my dating years, I'd have to factor in per person 11 drinks.
Yes.
And
of course the copay for the ambulance.
Exactly. And now a little something something.
Yes.
A woman in Tennessee ordered from a Mexican restaurant in the Knoxville area last month. She only tipped the delivery driver 89 cents. She must have added the tip when she paid online because the driver knew what it was before she dropped her food off. And it was close to a 30-minute drive round trip. So she wasn't happy about it, the delivery driver. We don't know the driver's name, but a 31-year-old friend of hers named Howard Webb was in the car with her. It's not clear if they deliver as a team or what the deal is, Wade. But to get even with the woman, Howard decided to dip his dangly bits into her salsa before dropping off the order. I think we're talking about teabagging the salsa.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the woman didn't find out until later on, so you have to assume she ate the salsa.
Oh.
She did get a refund. The driver recorded a 14-second video of Howard, which ended up on Facebook.
Then
police got involved. He's now facing 3 to 15 years in prison for adulteration of food or liquids, which is a felony. No word regarding the salsa, whether it was mild, medium, or penis.
I don't think I could get that low if I wanted to at this point in my life.
Well, that's why you can actually use your arms. Not that I've ever done it before.
No.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, it's the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You say goodbye.
Hello, Outlaws. This is Las Vegas legend Wayne Newton. And I love you. There are a few things in life that I require. Peace, joy, and of course, convenience. That's why I like to listen to TMOS on Spotify. No matter where I am, in my downtown apartment visiting the Guinea Hens at Casa de Shenandoah, or on stage at the Sands, I know that my favorite TMOS troublemakers are just a few taps away. Yes. So remember, every night when your tuxedo hits the floor and you want some solid, marvelous entertainment, get your cellular telephone and grab some TMOS on Spotify. Just another great way to be a part of America. I wish you love.
Thanks, Wayne. Today is Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. In Buddhist Thailand, Thursday is considered the teacher's day. And it is believed that one should begin one's education on this auspicious day. So if you want to look educated, you got to act smart. I'm smart!
You're smart!
And all the smart people shop at MikeOMaraShow.com. It features Macy's, Target, and Walmart. When you shop these retailers through our portal, you're supporting the Mike O'Mara Show. So the next time you need anything, just go to the TMOS Shopping Center. It has everything. And remember, in the Thai solar calendar, the color associated with Thursday is orange, Mac.
Hey!
Hey! So Aren't you glad you're shopping at the TMOS shopping center? So much involved in this promo. We worked a knock-knock joke in there. Cost you nothing, but means the world to us. Macy's, Target, Walmart, and TMOS, where the tie goes to the runner. Thank you very much. There's someone laughing at that. Absolutely. Let's open up the audio vault for the man who's laughing, Rob Spiewak, Thursday, Feb 27, 2019. Take it away, Rob.
Quick, let's start with a callback to your kicker we just had. I haven't been able to play this tape in years. There was a show, a sketch comedy show called The State. Does anyone remember
The State?
I remember
The State.
This is the catchphrase that I remember from The State so much that I keep it in my iPad.
I want to dip my balls in it!
Hold on, can I hear that one again, please?
I want to dip my balls in it!
And the whole point of the sketch was, as I recall, it's been 20 years, is that that was a guy, that's what he said all the time, to great hilarity around him, but there was another guy in the clique who said, oh, you're not inviting to dip my balls in a guy, are you? And it was like that it was becoming tiresome in the group.
I want to dip my balls in it!
But let's get to something more important. The Grease Man has put a new video on Facebook. And it, what happens?
Yes!
Have you seen it?
No.
He's seated at a restaurant, it appears.
Is this the martini one?
Yes. And a friend is taping him. And and he gets a martini put in front of him, and it's very full. And Grease is afraid that if he picks up the martini, he's going to spill it. So he drinks it with a straw.
It's another one of those many videos where they're treating Doug Track like he's a panda.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it's just like,
do it, Grease.
That's
do
a
it.
Full martini, isn't it, Grease?
Get
I
him.
Like to,
get
like
him,
to
Grease.
Try to get him to do something. And it's like, this man is so not motivated to entertain.
This is nine notches below the Jack Tar one. But being a Grease completist, I have to bring this to you.
How are you going to drink that?
It is a little full, but I'm very carefully.
It's a straw in it.
Ease it over to send away the gin. Let me tell you something about a martini. It's an eye opener. It's a fly opener. And it's a thigh opener.
Tasty. It's tasty.
Can't imagine why he's not on the air anymore.
I know.
in the Me Too generation, I can't
think about this.
It's a fly opener, it's an eye opener, and it's a thigh of whatever.
While right, there's no, clearly, there's not a place for that.
There's cockroaches in this computer.
In radio, it's a different time.
Yes,
it is.
But I, for some reason, even knowing what I know now, I hear that. And I'm like a little kid because I'm like, that guy.
No, the three of us are all. In fact, there are people within the industry.
Yeah, of course.
And Doug Tracht, if you hear this, if somebody plays this for you, this is Mike O'Mara, who used to compete with you. And I will tell you this, that within the industry, you are revered.
Of course.
People loved your act. I think that I don't think I'm alone. I don't think I'm the only one. Where you go back. I remember when he first moved on to Nights, and I was able to listen to him for a long time, and I just loved it. It was theater of the mind, old school stuff. It was innocent in its own way. Was it rednecky? Yes. Was it gross? Yes.
At times.
But it was him. Mm. And just, you know, and people in D.C. for a period of that man's career couldn't get enough of him. And then as it lingered and lingered, it seemed like more and more of the people were like, hey, Grease! You know, and then we kind of mess with those people a little
bit.
Well,
as you know, Mike, there are differences between powerboaters and sailboaters, and we shall address them tonight on the all-new Grease Man show.
Yeah,
all
right. It was, you know, I love listening to Grease.
I do, too.
And bring him on. Keep motivating him to put people out there, like when he's dancing in the rain with his trench coat.
Okay. Lady Gaga got some grief, and there's been a lot of speculation. Is she making love to Bradley Cooper?
Oh, God, I know. That's all that we've been reading about for the last 2 days.
She puts it to bed. Oh, let me change my phrasing. She answers
it.
She addresses it last night on the Jimmy Kimmel show.
Yes, people saw love, and guess what? That's what we wanted you to see.
Yes.
You know, I mean, this is a love song, Shallow. The movie A Star Is Born, it's a love story.
Yes,
from
it
a
is.
Performance perspective, it was so important to both of us that we were connected the entire time. I mean, look, I've had my arms wrapped around Tony Bennett for 3 years touring the world. I mean, like, when you're singing love songs, that's what you want people to feel.
Are you having an affair with Tony Bennett? Be honest.
No. No. I'm an artist, and I guess we did a good job, and fooled ya.
I love her.
Boo. Okay, let me just point out. I love her. As somebody, you know me, as I said at the very outset of the show, I'm a fixer. I like closure. That doesn't give me closure on the whole Bradley Cooper thing.
He's too
thing.
Dreamy. You're too hot.
You know, I mean, I don't know if she elaborated. I didn't watch the interview, so I'm not sure.
That was sort of a prepared statement. I think it ended there. But
I think, you know what I give him credit for? His singing ability. He really did teach himself how to do that. That's not an easy song to sing.
You're right.
And it's certainly not easy to do a duet when that hasn't been your calling in life.
In front of the world?
Yeah, and you know what? That movie's going to come out on cable pretty soon. I'm looking forward to watching. It probably already is.
And they're doing
it's on demand already. I'd like to go back and watch it.
And I think they're doing a re-release with additional footage, so you might get a chance to see it on the big screen again.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a hard X.
It's a hard X. Well, wait, what about that one scene, Rob?
Yeah.
Where Bradley Cooper in the movie is so excited that he screams something to Lady Gaga about I'm feeding you this line here where he shouts at the top of the it's something like that show you led with on your audio vault.
Oh yeah, I know it's what he says. This
what
is
did
one
he say
of,
to
this
her
is one the, of the deleted the, scene.
One of the deleted scenes. This is Bradley
Cooper.
Right
before
Cooper.
They're going to the Grammys in the movie, if you remember the scene.
Yeah.
And it's Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, and also Dice is in this scene. And,
okay, let's listen.
He says this.
I wanna dip my balls in it.
Thank you.
Now,
it's a long fishing trip, Rob. It was a long way to go. I left the lure in the water a
worth
long
it,
time for
worth
that
it.
One.
I want you to know no one was hurt. No one was hurt when in Hackensack, New Jersey, an SUV was driven into an auto zone overnight.
Oh, no.
I mean, the irony of a place that fixes cars would be actually the actual ruination of a car. And overnight, they came in, this SUV just plowed right into an AutoZone store.
So the driver wanted to get into the zone.
That's what, like, no one was hurt. Luckily, we have surveillance video of the wreck.
That's my car crash.
Get in the zone.
AutoZone. I stole your thunder there. I'm sorry. That's the guy. That's the jingle in my car crash sound.
So,
thank you. Thank
no
you.
No one was hurt.
Very good. I'm
thank
glad.
God. Thank I'm God. Glad. And we close with this. We can all agree on one thing. We're all very different, but we can agree that Ryan Reynolds is funny. And he's coming out, I believe, in May with a live action Pikachu Pokemon movie where he's the voice of Detective Pikachu. And he released his version of Inside the Actor's Studio of what it's like to be this classic Japanese animated character. Here's Behind the Actor's Studio with Ryan Reynolds.
I vanish into my roles. You know, this is a funny anecdote. I was on my way to pick up my daughters from school when I heard that I got the role. Well, I didn't show up at school because Detective Pikachu, he doesn't know who those two little girls are. Who are they?
They're our daughters. He just left them.
He doesn't have a wife. No. He's a little yellow guy. I live at his height. I tried to lose 182 pounds to match his weight until doctors intervened. Now, the point is, my daughters, they may never see their dad again. But you can be damn sure that they're looking up at that big screen this summer and they're going to see Detective Pikachu.
We're not going.
And they asked him actually.
We're not going. Funny.
They asked him to debut the voice he's going to use for Detective Pikachu, and it sounds like this.
I want to dip my balls in it.
That's your magic audio vault. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
Oh my God, another one in the can. Thanks for joining us for another riveting episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Look forward to your speculation online about everything around the show. If you have a message you'd like to hear in our Tuesday mailbag, send it to Rob with two B's at MikeOMaraShow.com. Remember, the TMOS bonus show makes a great gift even for yourself. Just go to MikeOMaraShow.com and click the banner that says Gift Bonus. It's easy, tasty. Hey, my genie. For Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara, thanking you for your continued amazing support for the best part of your day, except for that dentist. The Mike O'Mara Show. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
That's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
I've not yet begun to defile myself.
Goodbye, Judy.